again, it's having an end goal, knowing where you want to be, being clear about what you want to be, focusing on that, and knowing that it's going to be worthwhile is key. You fail. I mean, I've had businesses that fail for one reason or the other. You just have to roll with that, pick yourself up, have another focus, have another achievement that you want to get to.
Hi, I'm Oliver Berquez, co-founder of 40 Fit, and welcome to the Brain, Brawn, and Business Podcast, a podcast where I get business owners on to talk about their motivation, inspiration, successes, and challenges they face in business. We'll provide some valuable and inspiring content for those that are in business or for those that are aspiring to start their business journey. Enjoy the episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's Brain, Brawn and Business Podcast. Oliver here. Really pleased to be joined by an old friend and a really good businessman, Chris Meredith. Chris, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
I'm also joined with my business partner at 4D, Dan Reeve, and it's good to have. So it's a good dynamics today because we've got two of us
two
talking.
On one.
Two on one, Chris.
I feel and,
isn't it,
really?
Yeah, and we haven't shared a podcast. We chatted at the start of one, didn't we? The first one, Dan. We haven't shared one. So, yeah, okay. Good dynamics today. So that's that. Chris, if I just give some introduction around Chris, been in business like 30 years and loads I want to delve into with your business, obviously the sports entertainment and the stuff you've done around business initiatives, partnerships at the highest level. I mean, like the FA, Williams F1, Manchester United, to name a few. That's quite a good name of a few.
Yeah, it was, isn't it?
And I think that be great to find out about some of them when we carry on talking. And obviously now you've got a few businesses yourself, and I think that's great. And the big one, which I think we'll mention, which we will come on to, is you're approaching 53, don't mind me saying.
Thanks very much, yes.
And you're in really good shape, mate. You're looking great. And
thank you.
I know you've bought into that side of things as well. So so that's Chris. Anything you want to add to the introduction?
No, I'm there, sure you'll delve deeper if I know you correctly, Ollie.
I will, mate, indeed. So what's your first job after college, uni?
Actually, I dropped out of uni. I wanted to be the next Barry Norman.
Film
guy, so I went and started film, but I dropped out and I went into the city. I didn't realise I was so shallow and went chasing the money, and I actually didn't like it that much, but I went into the city with trading unit trusts and things like that, and stuck with it for a little while. But I think it, like everything, people, you know, there's a lot of pressure on young people to choose what they want to be in life and things like that, and you don't know, you find your way, and you know, I eventually found my way. And made some good decisions on the way and some bad decisions on the way. So, but the first job was in the city. But that's not for me. It is for a lot of people, but it's not the sort of...
What was the atmosphere like?
It's okay, yeah. It's because it was a young company, it wasn't... It was in the time where I think financial restrictions, you know, and qualifications weren't around. So that I think there was a lot of loose selling, as I would call it. And that attracted a very young, dynamic environment, but also work hard, play hard type stuff. And that wasn't necessarily for me. There's a lot of money floating around and things like that, but I think it's easy that it went again straight away. So lack of responsibility and stuff like that. But it was fine, because for that period of your life, it is what it is. And you're learning and you're finding your feet and you're finding what you like, what you don't like. Who you want to be, and I think a lot of pressure, too much pressure is put on people at A levels, even going to university, unless you're going into a become a doctor or a lawyer, a professional. Some people just have no idea. They just know they want to study an easy route, but really don't know yet what they want to be, and that's fine, because you will eventually find your feet. It's fine. You know, it's a great journey.
Chris, if I'm asking, what was it about? You said you realised you didn't, that weren't for you. Anything you don't mind sharing? Because
it's interesting. I've always been very motivated by sports, played sports, and my life also revolved around sport at a young age. You know, even at school, I had to get in early to play sports. Never left till late, all this sort of thing. And I felt there was something else I wanted to do. in the end, I ended up working in the Middle East for the Saudi Football Federation. And that was cool. That was during the first Gulf War as well, back in 91, 92, whatever it was. Yeah. And that was my real intro into sports. And it was great. It was absolutely fantastic.
What an experience that must have been.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Different culture, which I think you should embrace. You know, I've lived in Italy, I've worked in the States, and I've worked in the Middle East. And I would embrace those opportunities if you get the chance, because it's not just about, you know, the work experience, it's about the cultural experience and the life experience. And that's, finding that is fantastic.
And I think that the work, like you talk about opportunities and the experiencing of different cultures and stuff, do you feel it can get sometimes lost a little bit now, where we're so caught up on, you know, the work-life balance maybe have gone, that we're so up on, you know, 60-hour weeks, and we've got to work ourselves into the ground. There's no holidays, and there's no experience of the culture.
You have to, one of the things I've learned, and I'm getting older, is you have to step back, breathe, and find time to think. It's really important. It's important to give yourself time for other things, but it's also important to, in your working day, take time to think. So, I know we'll probably come on to my working day, but invariably, I've found that moment to just stop, get away from your desk and think about the business or what your project is at that time you want to do, and focus on it, and maybe how you can do things better or differently is vital. I'd encourage that in anyone who has a business. I'd encourage their staff to walk away from their desks. Go and sit in the park for 5 minutes, it's fine. You know, I used to head up commercial stuff for Lendlease down Bluewater. And I used to go and sit in the shopping centres watching people shop and look at their path to purchase and how they were using the environment and what we could do to affect that for our own business.
That's amazing. See, that's really forward thinking, that to look.
Well, I don't know if it's forward thinking. I just
think
it's important.
Well, it is, but I personally don't think people study human behaviour in that way, to see it from a point of view of understanding how they're buying and how they're selling and doing that stuff.
I mean, I wonder how much, I know you guys do personal training, but you do groups, and I think that's fantastic. But do you both sit on the same thing, or one of you just watch how they all interact and just literally watch how people are using your facility? And I love that about anything that you do, you know, any commercialization of a business, is how do we interact with customers? How can we do it better? And why aren't we, a lot of people are caught up in the detail, which is important, but don't step back and think, hey, okay, yeah, can we make this better?
I think the stuff around sort of analysing and reviewing company performance, and I'll tell you where I'm going, so something Dan and I will do, and we did it yesterday actually, we ended up doing it as a live video on our 4D Facebook page. We were just catching up on sort of clients, reviewing programmes and looking at things we need to move forward. So we're constantly, for us, is like reviewing how clients are doing, the strategies they need to improve, looking at our own personal performances and the business. So, you know, we do that quite a bit.
That's good.
Do you think that is hugely important?
Yeah, I think looking at your own performance is important. Yeah. You know, not being too hard on yourself. I think people are very hard on themselves these days. I think there's a lot of pressure on people to be too hard on themselves, to drive themselves too much. And with that comes pressures. And you've got to find the balance between being better, you know, improving what you're doing, but also managing your life. And that's as important as managing your work. So I'm a massive believer in the fact that, you know, you shouldn't be too hard on yourself, because that brings unwanted pressures and affects performance.
How have you done that, Chris? Can you share any strategies you've done? Well, no, you have. I think in terms of, like, how have you... You said you worked in London, weren't for you, and you've got, you know, having a little brief chat, we've had off air, but you spoke about your work-life balance.
Yeah.
Getting into, you know, what things do you do to ensure that you have that balance?
Gosh, I think routine is good. I think whilst routine can be boring, routine is really healthy. Because one, it's predictable. Secondly, you have a process in place. And I don't mean regimented routine in terms of the fact that you must stick with it all the time, because we all need to be flexible. But I think a routine where you cover all bases is really important. You know, we'll talk about exercise and how you incorporate that, and how you incorporate healthy eating or whatever it may be, but also how you achieve your goals professionally. It's really important that you have routines. Mine involves, I love lists. I love a list. I you know, first thing when you write a list, I've got lists in front of me here, and all that sort of thing. And that's important because I know I can predict what I've got to do. It has to be done. I know it sounds obvious, but it's very important. I try and get the things that have to be actioned in the morning done first, because that gets time in the afternoon for creativity and development. And I think the afternoon's healthy for that personally. It doesn't work for everyone. So the morning for me, get the list done, get the actionable things done, the things that must be done, you know, to move you forward or actually just to service what you're doing. And then make sure you've done those, work hard on doing those. And in the afternoon, you'll find you might have that time for business development, creativity, whatever it may be, development of people you work with, all those sorts of things.
So I love that. I think you saying that is brilliant. It's such a great point, because I think, you know, obviously if you create lists in the morning, get those tasks done in the morning, it must free up your headspace in the afternoon for the productive tasks. If you want to be creative,
yeah,
you've freed up your headspace. You've got a few little ticks next to those tasks. So you've won already in the day. Coming into the afternoon,
That's it.
Give you confidence to go and deliver then.
It's the big thing. Getting stuff done, getting things ticked off, alleviates the pressure of the day. And helps, as you quite rightly said, free mind space. And that's as important as anything else when you're working. It's free up the mind to be both creative, but also to find time for the business, rather than the business driving you, you know, which it does. The ticks and getting that list done is the business driving you. What you have to do is get those things done so you can then decide how you want to do the business.
But you're really good at...
You're struggling to find what he's good at.
Yeah, you're really good at.
You're really good at. No, let me just say, because everyone thinks you're not good at anything, and I can't even like that. No, you're really good at compartmenting your day, aren't you, mate? Like, so you don't overcommit on things. You're just very methodical. And you've said it when you're in a previous podcast, when you'll say, I'm not the most talented at doing something, but Dan's just done an Ironman. But probably the most prepared out there in terms of had his routine, his structure, it was all written out. You have that sort of methodical approach to things, don't you?
Definitely. And like, I think what you were talking about before, like saying about routines and how like it works for us, it works for the body as well.
Yeah.
The body likes routine. The body likes to wake up at the same times. It likes to go to sleep at the same times. If you give it that, it gives you that, it brings stress levels of yourself down. So
it's
not suddenly getting so all over the place in terms of if it eats at the same times, it's fed at the same times, it's given the same amounts of water, your body composition will change. Like if you're starving it, or you're holding back, or you're going through periods of binging, etc., then your body will change. And it's the same with the mind at the same time. So like, just as we like routine, like actually internally, it's not surprising that the body likes the routine at the same time as well. And suddenly healthier mind, healthier body.
Absolutely.
It sort of all comes together.
It's all intrinsically linked. It has to be.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really important, and something which I've done a lot better probably in the last year. So loads can buzz in my mind, you know, when you're in business and stuff, and it's a lonely place, it can be a little bit, but you know, it falls on you a little bit. So, but I love the creative side. So my mind's always thinking of, right, how can we improve things, or the next steps and doing stuff. And it used to be a bit of a detriment to me.
Right.
Because what I would find is that I'd thinking all the time and yeah, it's just the way I think. So it's like, you know, sometimes it's just overwhelming and stuff.
The important thing actually is write it down.
And that's what I've done. I mean, I've been journaling for a year now, and it's probably been the biggest, most productive impact it's had on my performance.
Yeah,
has been journaling. Just getting it out of my head and onto paper.
Get it on paper. And no matter how rubbish it is, because invariably what you'll find is you forgot it. And one of those things would be a really good idea. And you think, what was I going to do to improve the business or to improve life or whatever it may be? And you've forgotten.
And then
you must
do.
Get it down on paper.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, which I find is now, is reducing the tasks. So now it sounds funny, you feel we have to cram more in. And you're very good at that, Dan, actually. That's another thing I was sort of, I suppose, leading on to what I was saying about you there. Is reducing the tasks you have to do, and you do them more effective.
Yeah.
So I know now, it's what helped me, that if I've got... in my journal, say the day something's happened in the day, I'm similar to you where I've got the task out of the way in the morning, but say something's happened in the day and the day's lost its way for whatever reason, because life happens,
yeah, absolutely.
as long as I write down in my journal at the end of the day, I wake up the next day, I've got clear direction already for the next day. And last night was an example. I lost my wife. I can't even remember. Well, yeah. Had to go and pick up a little girl because we tried to do something. Anyway, it's just a little bit sometimes get thrown a little bit. But, I've, you know, still 9:40, whatever it was last night, wrote my journal. So today...
Yeah, that's I'm probably clear. When you text me, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm clear. Yeah, I'm clear. I've got this. Yeah, I've got this. Just written out and I'm clear. So, yeah, I'm a firm advocate of that. And I suppose adding that point, if anyone has that headspace where they're like that, it can help.
Yeah, just write it down.
And that's it. And I'm saying, like, when you say about, like, bringing tasks down, like, scaling things back, like, not always doing more is better. Like, it massively goes across into our world at the same time as well, where people think that, like within the gym, I'm training this much, I need to train more, I need to do more, I need to like do more running, I need to do more, lift more weights, I need to train more times a week, I need to do extra. Like, it's not always about doing more.
It's consistency.
Yeah, consistency, but also quality over the quantity. Sometimes it's actually going, look, are you actually neglecting the rest and recovery? Are you neglecting these aspects of your life? Like you've said about having the balance. And then, like, my world and when I'm programming people, it's actually going sometimes looking at what they're doing. You're training six times a week. Actually, you're not recovering enough. If you recover, you actually give your body time to grow, to, regenerate. Suddenly, you'll actually move on. And that's where it's, like, being smart with your planning, your programming, your routine, your daily sort of tasks. Not going, like, busy seems to be, like, people want to be busy. It's, like, that should be the exact opposite of what you want to be.
Yeah, smart is always good. I think having goals is really important. So having something that is very achievable and being realistic about who or what or how you want to be, and then making sure that you have a structure to achieve that. So I think we were talking beforehand, and I wanted to play football till I was 55.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks ago, I came back and I was super fit, first game, and I trapped a nerve in my back. 5 minutes to play, I was overcooking it, and now the frustration of that is I can't do my workouts the best that I want to do, and I have this goal that I want to achieve from my fitness. So I now have to find a decision about what I'm going to do about my football, because that interferes with that process, and it might just fracture what I'm doing and make my aim, my achieve what I want to do further away. But you can't get frustrated with it either. That's the other thing. If something interrupts what you're doing, don't get frustrated with it. Just be realistic and be flexible. You must be flexible in what you do.
And so failures in business, or so your biggest challenges, so if you could sort of share them, because the reason I like find out or have this, everyone's had failures and everyone's had challenges and lots people learn from them. So what challenges and failures have you had that you can share that's to help you grow to sort of be today?
I think it's one of them, you know, challenges, simple admin. I don't like admin. I'm terrible at admin. So you need to make sure you have strong support in life. You know, you need to know where your weaknesses are, both in what you do in terms of, you know, lifestyle, but also what you're doing professionally. And admin for me. I know it sounds stupid and simple, but I just hate. In terms of challenges, you know, I think maintaining focus and motivation is the main one. Keeping motivated and focused on things. So,
what things do you do to keep your motivation?
That's hard. Again, it's having an end goal, knowing where you want to be, being clear about what you want to be, focusing on that, and knowing it's going to be worthwhile is key. You fail. I mean, I've had businesses that fail for one reason or the other. You just have to roll with that, pick yourself up, have another focus, have another achievement that you want to get to, and go again.
Has that made you better for it now, those failures?
I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I think so. I mean, we're just starting a new business now, and I'm really excited by it. So motivated by it, really excited by it. I'm doing it with a really good friend of mine, probably one of my best friends, and he and I have had this concept that has got a lot of value to it in terms of social significance and social welfare and things like that.
Can it's I ask him, Chris, because obviously we mentioned, is this for the project for the older generation?
Yeah.
1 Million
Sounds
Lives?
Immense. Yeah.
So the idea is, and without giving too much away, but the idea is we believe there's, you've got an aging population, massively aging population, and that growth will continue for the next 30 years or 40 years. And with that brings lots of social problems. Social problems such as mental dexterity, fitness, people that actually don't have enough money, financial hardship, loneliness, and all these things. As a society, we need to be looking at them. And we think that one of the biggest problems is ageism in terms of the workplace. So a lot of ageism out there. People may not be as transparent about it, but it exists. So what we want to do, and we think we've found a solution. I can't tell you what that proper solution is, but we've found a way, we think, to engage large corporates and find a way to integrate people with a flexible solution in the workplace from 55 to 75 to give people the opportunity for some work or lots of work, or whatever fits into their life, to help them with the challenges and problems they may have. One of them, they might just want to carry on working, but one of them might be loneliness. One of them might be actually they want to work because they're afraid of not applying their mental capabilities or physical capabilities. So we believe we can, over the next X years, create over about a million job
opportunities. And that's huge. I mean, what I'll do...
Which is mad.
It's amazing. And I think when off air, actually, I've got a contact that would be very worth you speaking to.
Thank you.
And I'll elaborate on that after.
I'm hoping this will be the legacy one.
Definitely sounds like...
But then that's like, you know, you said, what's your motivation? What's your why? Well, that's good motivation. Yeah, that's serious motivation.
It's a great idea. We're really enthused by it. Huge amount of work over the next few years to get it going.
Yeah, but I think...
As you did, you started this wonderful business you've got here. And I remember when you started, I remember this... when they broke ground on this office, I remember you sending pictures, and just fantastic. And now you see it now. You have this structure, you've got a beautiful environment, you know, you're focused on your business, you know what your offering is, you know what you want to do to expand that offering, and that's great because you're both motivated, and you know what the product is, you know where you're going with it. I'm sure you've got expansion ideas, but you know, it's about doing one thing properly at a time. And moving it forward, and this is great.
100%. Well, thank you, Chris. Fantastic. Appreciate it. But I wanted to go back to, you know...
You're just out of my catchment, unfortunately. Otherwise, I'd be in here.
Appreciate you saying it. But going back to motivation, like that project, that's amazing. And I think we're obviously recording this, if people do visually watch it, but you look great. So you're approaching 53, you're in great shape, and you look the part and stuff. And actually, if you're going to lead a project like that, you talk about inspiring all the time. You're going to inspire people. You're setting an example for that. You know, look, I'm at 53 and I really believe in this. And actually, I'm sure you can share some great stories and insight as this business evolves.
Proof's in the pudding, as it were. I think, you know, you don't intentionally set out to inspire. You just set out to do and to achieve. And if you can do those other factors along the way, that's wonderful. That's very, very nice to hear. But I think what you've got to do is focus on doing it right first, and then all the other bits come off from it.
It's great. So we spoke about habits, routines and stuff. Exercise is important to you. What things do you enjoy about exercise, and what is your routine around exercise?
It changes. I mean, so last year was very disappointing for me. I got so many injuries. And I think with life cycles, you go through peaks and troughs of being able to be very fit, or you get a bit slovenly, you know, and life overtakes what you're trying to achieve, and you get out of shape, or whatever it may. You might drink too much, you might eat too much, and all those kind of things. And pressure, and we talked about pressure and trying to get away from the pressures and making sure you handle things properly. So last year, I was still playing football. I got too many injuries, and that curtailed most things. It was very frustrating. So before the season ended, I decided that's it. I'm going to be super fit for this season. So I set a new routine, and that was getting up at 6 o'clock every morning, or maybe a little bit earlier, depending on what the work was for that day, making sure I was up an hour earlier than I used to be to fit in exercise. I like it. It works for me. For some people, my other half, if I told her to get up in the morning and exercise, she would just look at, she'd shoot me. Yeah. She's a night person, but for me, I love it. You get up in the morning, it's quiet. I do my own thing. I do it at home, work out at home. I don't like lifting particularly heavy weights, and I know that's very, very healthy. But I like, you know, I like HIIT training, and I want to carry on doing HIIT training whilst I've still got the joints to do it. And strengthening core and that sort of thing. So at 6 o'clock every morning, I do a 40-minute HIIT training session.
Were you able to train this morning? Because obviously we've gone on air early.
I did a little training this morning. Yes, I've got the back. Yeah. So what I did this morning, yeah. I did some planks and just some core.
Good man.
Until the back gets better. But and hopefully, I did play football last night with my lads. I coach under 17 boys. So in my spare time, I've been coaching the same team for 12 years. I think they're getting worse.
Set the coach.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's you've still got to do stuff. So I played last night.
How did it feel, the back?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay. But I know it's still there when I twist and turn and things like that. So you've got to be careful.
2 more years to retirement then? Going to go 2 more years?
I said I'd play till I was 55. Yes, you said. Yeah, I've always said I'd play till I was 55. Yeah. And
you've
got to see that
through now. You've set that goal down the line, haven't you?
I have set that goal.
And you've told so many people now. That.
That's the interesting thing about goals. This is the interesting thing about goals, is actually, if you tell enough people...
Yeah.
You've got to do it.
You're buggered.
You've got to do it.
I tend to do that with ones that I'm not 100%. Like, I want to do it, and I think it's a good idea to do it. I know it's going to do me good, and I want to achieve it, but I'm almost not 100% bought in myself.
And that's
the
ones
I tell more people that. I tell more people about those ones than I do the ones that I'm sure of and I'm going to commit. I can just do it and get on with it myself.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I just sort of like...
Throw them out there.
Because I've never had that. So I'm going to do a Guinness World Record next year, and it's gone on air now and I've said it.
You're going to do a Guinness World Record attempt.
So I spoke to Dan about a year and a half ago. Last year was a crazy year and it got put back to the... Yeah, year before. So this year is not going to happen.
So why are you doing next year?
I finished football.
Because he's got a bit of ego.
5 minutes of fame. It has to be in
the
book.
That's
all it is.
No. Let me explain more. But going back to... the reason why I'm opposite is, for me, I tell people to do things, and then you've got to be good to your word, so you've got to do that. But if there's something you're not quite... It's like, I love that approach, Dan, because it's like, no, put it out there, then you're going to do it.
Commit.
So the Guinness World Record is finished football 2016, and then obviously phoned myself into business. We had to launch 4D, we're in zone, and then it's right now I'm ready for some personal goals.
Yep.
Got myself in good shape this year with the help of the man to the left of me. That's Dan, if anyone's listening, not if you haven't got me in shape. So I've got in shape, and so next year it was Guinness World Record. I just want to do a goal. I want to do something. That'd be a great challenge. And there's...
There's a couple of charities that I'd add as well.
There's a couple of charities important to me. One that's important to the family, so stroke, and that'll be if I can get into a marathon, do one and only marathon next year. And one that's important to Dan and his family as well, which I'll do. So there is that motivation. But you've heard it now, world record attempt next year. And
we're looking forward to find out what it is.
Yeah, I'll announce it once they've... I'm all ready.
Well,
now.
I just need to
accept
it.
No, this is a good one.
It's a good one. Okay, good.
No, it's a good one.
But I can't say it until I'm accepted it, because if I say it and then the world, they don't let me...
We're looking for it next year.
Yes, no, it'll be sooner than that, Chris. But yeah, I think going back to that, that's really good what you say. You do that. If there's something you're a little bit not sure, I'm going to tell people I'm going to do it, because it makes you do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And...
for the exercise that you used, like, for you, I think it's important that people don't feel like they've got to do, this is what you must do. It's got to be fun. It's got to be something that you enjoy. And if you enjoy it, you're going to do it more.
As I say, I don't like lifting heavy weights or anything like that, but I do a bit.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, sure.
But I find with some resistance training, you can get enough of a shape that you might be seeing. And there's so many offerings out there in terms of workouts and diets, and you must do this one, this is the best one, do keto, do that, etc., etc. I found my own.
Yeah.
Read up about them, find out what's important, but, you know, find what works for you. If you want an environment where there's lots of people around, and go to a gym. If you're happy, if you're motivated like I am, I do it on my own.
Yeah.
If you like running, go and run. Don't, but just because if you start something that doesn't work for you, don't throw it and adapt and be flexible. It's so important. Again, with the diet, you know, I've started eating differently, and my other half and I, we love it. Joe and I love it. We've stopped eating certain carbs, but we've not gone down the keto route. We've not gone down a route. We've just cut out a lot of bread. We've cut out a lot of pasta and rice and potatoes and things like that, just because we wanted to eat fresh over the summer.
Yeah.
And actually, we've enjoyed it so much. When we go and do if we do a roast chicken now, we just have Mediterranean roast vegetables with it, and that's it. That's really healthy. It feels fantastic. We found we're eating less, and what we're eating is very fresh and healthy and all those sorts of things. And you find new foods and things like that. And I love that. I really am embracing this finding my own journey.
That's it. And like from our point of view, when we bring people in terms of the clients and stuff, we're not trying to say, right, this is what you must do. This is the way you're going to do things from now on. It is finding what works for you. It's like everybody's different. Everyone has different tastes. Everyone has different likes, dislikes, etc. And also, there's no one way you have to do. There's no one thing. There's lots of things that are healthy. And yeah, it's finding the thing that's going to be sustainable and give you longevity at the end of the day.
Sustainability is key. And being non-prescriptive. You can't. I don't think you'd be dictatorial to people, because people have to have the ability to adapt. They have to have the ability to forgive themselves for going on a bender and then picking it up again, or for having that pie or whatever it may be, and not being too strict with themselves, but finding a balance that gradually improves them.
Yeah, and do you know what, Chris? For us, that's the biggest thing that we get across, if it's me and Dan talking to our clients, or whether it's one of our coaches talking to the clients, is that when we sit down with them and talk to them, that it's okay if you don't get it right. Let them know it's okay. They don't feel they're letting the trainer, us coaches down or anything like that. It's fine, because life is not perfect. You won't eat it perfectly every day and stuff.
Exactly.
And if you can outline some expectations at the start, then that's great. And for even people who haven't got a coach and stuff, it's just outline some personal expectations that allow you to not get it right, that if it's not perfect, it doesn't matter. You know, we talk about, I said something the other day, clean slate policy, you know, and we talk about it a lot. It's like, today's another day.
Yeah.
All you can do is impact the next day. And it's easy for us to say, you know, when you say, oh God, you sound like you've got yourself, your head in gear and stuff like that. That's just making mistakes and learning and trying to improve on yourself. But I think it's really important, the expectations in
yeah, I think a lot of it comes from, you know, people are selling quick hits, quick fixes. And none of it is a quick fix, you know. We always use, we talk about, you know, you can have an 8-week campaign on doing something. It's not going to change anything. It might make you feel a bit better, which is good, and I don't dismiss it completely. But if you can do something for 3 or 4 months, you're changing your lifestyle, and that becomes the sustainability you were talking about, Dan. And I think it's really important for people to say, well, I'm doing this, not because I want to get a few pounds off for the beach, which is healthy, but actually, when you get back from holiday, continue it. Find something you can continue and adapt and bring into your life to make it, you know, healthier. Because I think that's the key. Whilst you can go and do, I mean, I like Insanity workouts, but that's an 8-week program. That does, I've adapted that for my daily life, ongoing.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's really important, because everyone talks about a 60-day plan, a 90-day plan. Actually, I didn't have a life plan.
Yeah,
far healthier.
That's the world we live in, unfortunately, isn't it? The instant gratification, the
quick fix.
You want it now, you want that pill that's just going to transform your business, your life, your relationship, etc. No, of course
you've got to embrace change.
Yeah.
And but find what works for you to do it. So.
Just wanted to touch into some of your work, because like the fact you've worked with the FA, Man United, Williams F1, involved in the Olympics 2012, which is like phenomenal. That must have been amazing for you, but like some of the just love to know some of the stuff you learnt from that and are involved in, and just anything you can give around that you can share, because I just think that's
when you said it's amazing. We were talking about failures earlier. One of my failures was coming out of sport. You know, I got offered to go and do a job for another company. I structured commercial rights was my original profession, really, and I got offered an opportunity to go into retail environments, commercial destinations, they said, can I do what I do in sport in commercial destinations? I said, I assume so. And Lendlease were a wonderful company to work for. They own Bluewater and lots of shopping centres. And so what we were looking at doing was the commercialisation of those. Big regret for me, because once you're out of the sporting environment, the commercial, it's very difficult to get back in. And I had a long time out of it. And now I do my own things. I do my own businesses and things like that. But that was a professional regret. I wish I'd stayed in sport. And I did get offered an opportunity to go back, and for personal reasons and you know, family, I couldn't get back in. I couldn't take it because it was too far away. But yeah, the sport, it's the glamorous stuff, you know.
I was going to say, what is it about? Is it the fact you just love being around those people? You love going to the events? Is it the...
Well, because you... I really believe you should do something you're passionate about. I think one of the questions you were talking about previously was, you know, if you could give yourself 10 years ago some advice. I'd take it back.
I was going to ask you that anyway, Chris, but listen, you can lead into it now, mate.
Well, no, I'm going to take it further than that.
Yeah.
I was just reading your sheet. No. I'd take back 30 years. I'll go back 30 years, and the advice I'd give myself.
You're going to answer, Dan, yes. So just for those listening, yeah. What advice are you going to give to Chris 30 years ago?
Become a tree surgeon. Become a tree surgeon.
Why is that?
Because I love being outside. And I love the thrill. I mean, I've got involved with someone just doing some bits over the last couple of years, and I love it. I don't mind heights. I love the adrenaline. I'm still a bit of an adrenaline junkie, and I always have been. Yeah. So I think being a good tree surgeon, having my business doing a tree surgeon, don't get me wrong, but actually I'd say to myself, or be a park ranger, or do something like that, because I know about myself, I love being outside.
So in the context of the answer then for people, is just to do what, follow your passion and do what you love.
Well.
I think
it's the most important thing, you know, you can pursue in life is what you really enjoy.
Do you think you could combine like your hobby and your, if you could combine a hobby and a, like, obviously sports people, they get paid for things that, well, although these day and age they don't always love playing their sports anymore. They don't seem to anyway. They seem to be doing it for some for the wrong reasons. But if you can combine the two, then that would be your ideal sort of...
Yeah, well,
sort of,
I used to work in the commercial side of sport.
Yeah.
So, and love playing sports. So I think that was a great balance for me. Really great balance. And, you know, going to... Whilst I'm a big Tottenham Hotspur fan, going to places like Man United.
Amazing.
And working with those professionals. And the insight we could give them, but the insight they had to develop the business and take it to the stage it's got to even now. I mean, they've gone beyond everything we ever imagined.
But they say, you know, it's a bit of a quote, although we love our quotes, don't we? But you know, surround yourself with people to motivate you, inspire you, push you and drive you. And a previous guest I had on actually last week, Dean spoke about you are the people you rub shoulders with and connect with. So it's like, that's... So, do you believe it? So you've been around those people, it's quite inspiring and motivating for you.
A lot of those people are very inspiring. You know, people like Frank Williams. I mean, really, what an inspiring man he is. I mean, totally driven, a perfectionist, absolute perfectionist.
And what was it, is that his perfectionist? And how was he as a person when you meet him and chat to him?
Wonderful. One of the most accommodating, pleasant people you could ever meet.
I find this is what I love about...
You meet some that aren't.
Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but this is what I love about it. You know, I love people that are on a seriously great, amazing level, that are completely humble and very, you know, compassionate. Like you said, open, plenty of time for that person.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I always say that, you know, Victoria's granddad and stuff like that, one of the most humble people who I've ever met. Just, if I'm going to be famous, how are you going to be acting? You know, act like that, the way is open to people, just and I think that's...
Heroes for the right reason, yeah.
Yeah. Don't need to be, don't need to show, I think social media can sometimes, you can shout about a lot on that social media about things and stuff, but they don't need that, gratification from others. They know their worth, they set the actions they lead, and what they do is people see it.
Yeah, be by example.
So Frank Williams, any others? Any other like huge leaders sort of?
Yes, I've met some. But I've been very fortunate.
Name drop, please.
I'm not going to do that. there's just some very. I've been very fortunate to work with some great professional people, who are very driven, but also are real people. You know, they're very accommodating, and they are. How I would describe is how you find them is how there's no agenda.
Yeah.
You know, they're honest. They're true to themselves about what they're doing. And I think that's really important. You know, they probably look at themselves in the mirror at night and they're fine. And I think that's great. You know, I've met some that aren't so much as like that. But, you know, that's part of this journey we talked about. You know, this work-life journey. You will meet all sorts. And I've never taken anybody on anyone else's word. I always take them how I find them. Always give people opportunity. Always. Because two people may not get on, but you may get on with that person. So, you know, it's very important to always have an open mind about the people you work with, always.
And that's really good. And then so if anyone's starting in business, I mean, you mentioned the advice you'd give to Chris Fay years ago.
Be a tree surgeon,
You know, someone starting in business or getting into, what any advice or tips you'd give?
Just, you know, focus on what you want to do. Believe in yourself. Have self-belief. There'll be so many doubters. There always are doubters. And they're the people that don't action things. And just believe in the journey. Believe in yourself. See it through. It will happen. If you believe in it enough, you know, you can make... And be realistic, obviously. Be realistic about it. But, you know, there's so many naysayers and doubters that you've just got to remain strong, remain focused, and try and see it through. It may not succeed, but you'll learn from the journey.
And any favourite quotes, words you live by personally?
Oh, God. I'm a big fan. There's two poems. I'm not going to quote poetry to you. You know, one's If by Rudyard Kipling.
Yeah, love it.
Which is great. You know, that bit where they talk about if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds
favorite
worth
poem,
of...
Favourite poem, mate, is my favourite.
60 seconds worth of running and all that sort of thing. I love that. And that's what... And then Desiderata. So you've got If and Desiderata, which are two great poems. And people haven't read them, read them, please.
See, we both went quiet on the second one.
I will know because I've written it down.
Okay, for example, If is about action.
I know If, mate.
Can you do that?
It's my
favourite
poem.
Engage, and become. Whereas Desiderata is about, it's more peaceful.
Yeah.
And it's about being real and grounded. So you've got one that's all about action and achievement and one that's about being real and grounded. You combine the two, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So If and Desiderata would be things I would recommend people to.
What we're trying to do with the podcast is get business owners on and people that are sharing insights and knowledge, words of wisdom. And obviously when I reached out a couple of weeks ago, I'm so pleased you've been able to come on because, you know, and reconnecting to you today and coming and seeing, like, you know, you're in really good shape. You talk real good sense. You've failed, you've succeeded, you're open-minded, as you said, you know, real person in terms of what you're doing. So, like, so many good attributes that are really inspiring. And I think if anyone's listening to it, or you know, there's some really good take-home messages there. So I'm so glad you've been able to come on today, mate.
My pleasure.
And share that. It's been great. So that's fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Anything else you want to add?
No, he walks the walk and talks the talk, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Looks the part, and like obviously, like what you've achieved and stuff, you can.
You've got failures, but you know, find the work-life balance, enjoy life. You know, that's the main thing. I think you've got to enjoy life. You've really got to make sure that actually, you like what you're doing. You like who you are.
Yeah.
You know, I love this social media stuff you're doing. I don't do it. I haven't seen the need to with the new business. We may do it. I'm sure we're going to have to at some juncture. And I like the fact that, you know, you guys are focused and driven about screaming about your achievement because this is a great achievement. And it's the way it would work for your business as well because that's how you're going to expand. And so embracing these social media opportunities, I think, is great. So
well, me and Dan have the same ethos. We have obviously our personal stuff where we put out content, but we share the same vision and passion with 4D. We actually, you know, really care about our clients and we come from a really similar place. Different people, but have that same passion and vision. And I think we work really well in business partners,
yeah,
don't we, with Jim? But from our perspective, you know, sharing content, like we just want to help people. It's actually like 90% of our content is actually offering advice and helping people. Yeah, you've got to let people know a little bit about what you're doing, because that's just reality of business. But if you can, and that's why they're creating a podcast. Like, if I can help one person, and
that's what it's about,
or two people, is. I had a message yesterday from when I listened to the last podcast. Dean texted me, one of the guys, Cardiff rugby first team coach. Dean listened to the podcast, and it's great. And that's like, love that. There's no manager, nothing in that foot. It's just...
No, sometimes you've got to give.
If you're inspired and help people, and that's amazing. Like, personal heroes, do you have any? And why do you hold them in such high regard?
Oh, yeah. It seems a bit... Actually, it seems a bit cheesy. I do have a hero, and it's my father. He's 86. No, he might be 85, actually. He'll hurt me for saying 86. But he is a very grounded man, and he's like a rock in everyone's life. He's not a big guy. He's actually quite frail and small and all that sort of thing. But he is a rock. He's reliable, what he says he does, all those kind of things. But also from a motivational side of things, up until recently, he still used to play football with the grandkids. I mean, in his late 70s, he was either running or cycling 7 miles a day, every day for the whole year. Incredible.
Amazing.
Him and my stepmom, they, even at 80, they used to cycle to the local town, which was 15 miles there and 15 miles back to go and have their coffee and cake. So they were cycling almost 30 miles a day at 80.
That's amazing.
Which was great. And so for me, they are the most inspiring people. My father is the most inspiring person in my life, yeah. I suppose. So I'm very blessed. And subsequently, I'd like to be the same for my son. I know you know my son. And I actually said that off air,
and that's what, you know, you're saying about the stage of relationship as Miles got older and stuff like that. But he does, and that's the relationship you had. And that's, I said to you, only years ago, that was always how they had a really special bond and stuff like that.
But I think
when I saw, and that's everything to me. You know, like, I want to be a role model for my children. I want to set an example of, you know, trying to be a good person, and actually, you know, trying to be, you know, how to make that improve, be a rock, be strong for that. You know, all of these things.
But being that as well, that reliable person in somebody's life is so important. But you'll find that probably transcends into the people you work with, the people you do, you know, customers, clients, whoever it may be. And reliability is so important. So important in this day and age. I think making sure that, you know what, the guys down at 4D Fit, they deliver. You know, I can count on them. So that reliability is so important in life. And if you're that to your kids, you know, that'll transform into your professional life, you would hope. And it just becomes one constant. And that's important.
Great podcast there with Chris and Dan, and slightly different to how the previous seven has gone, where we had the guest on and obviously my business partner talking. So it was a really good conversation had. Chris is a great guy. And for those that couldn't see him, he's 53 years young. He's in great shape. He's very focused. He's good with his habits, and he's a really great role model. And it was a great catch up with him. Some excellent take home points, I think, that everyone made as well, which was good. But just things around routine, how important that is. Starting the day with exercise and getting up earlier to make sure that's fitted in, and how productive that makes the day ahead. Getting that list written down and getting the most important task done at the beginning of the day, which sets you up for winning the rest of the day. The bit that he mentioned about, you know, following your passions and loving what you do, and how action and achievement makes you grounded and humble. And he certainly has a really good work-life balance and his enjoyment on life, which is something we can all do in, I suppose, the ever pressures of work and time that we currently live in. And the last thing, which I think is really important, is just being around good people, and which will allow you to learn and grow. And it's something a lot of my guests have said as well. So hope you enjoyed the podcast. Hope you can relate to that. Thank you so much to everyone for listening to today's Brain, Brawn and Business podcast. Please, please, please share the podcast with any friends, family or work colleagues that you feel would get benefit from this. And as you know, I'm hugely passionate about helping people, and that this podcast can have an impact on as many people as possible. If you enjoyed the episodes, then please leave me a review on any of the podcast platforms you're listening on. That'd be greatly appreciated. And if you just want to get in touch, drop me a message or comments or anything you found valuable. I'd love to hear from you. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or an email. Oliver Burquez, you can find me, or oliver@40fit.co.uk.